and welcome to Forever GM. Today's a really awesome and exciting day because we are starting a brand new campaign. I am Adam. I use he, him pronouns.
I'm Cindy, and I use she, her pronouns.
I'm Viditya. I use he, him pronouns.
I'm Dee. I use she, her.
And I'm Maddie, and I use they, them.
So for anyone who's listening that has also listened to our campaigns of Quest and our one-shot of Bolt, we are joined by a new individual today, Viditya. Viditya, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are?
Oh my god, yeah, I can do that. hi, yeah, I'm Viditya. I'm a game designer and other things. I feel like there should be a list, but I'm a cool game designer, and I make games at viditiability.itch.io.
Awesome. All right, so today we're going to be starting a campaign of Merkborg, which I'm very excited about. This game is just so dark and gritty.
I'm nervous.
I'm nervous in a good way, right?
Yeah.
And our game's going to be run by our amazing Maddie. So Maddie, you want to give us a little bit about Merkborg?
Absolutely. So Merkborg is one of my most favoritest RPGs of late, especially. It's by Stockholm Cartel and Occult Ort Master Games. God, I'm sure I butchered that. And it's released by Free League and Free League Publishing. It is a phenomenal, what do they call it? Jet black art punk game. I don't know. Anyway, it's really, really simple. It's pretty much mechanically just a D20 based game. You got four stats. You add your stat to a roll. Most rolls are going to be somewhere between a difficulty of an 8 and a difficulty of a 14. It's pretty bare bones, which, because it's so lightweight, allows them to do all kinds of crazy, kooky stuff with the character classes, the setting, the way that monsters interact with the game is just horrifying. this game is phenomenal, and I cannot talk it up enough, and I'm really excited to be playing it.
Same. Mm-hmm.
So, did we want to do some character introductions, and then we can just jump into it?
Yeah, I'm into that.
Cool, cool, cool. Adam, take us away.
So I'm going to be playing Kerm. Kerm is what's called a Dead God's Prophet, which is one of the really unique classes that wasn't in the original core book of Merkborg. It is available on their website, though. So Kerm uses he, him pronouns, but doesn't really use pronouns all that often, and is just so unique.
Cindy.
Yeah. So I'm going to be playing something called Reposed Reflects the Truth. No real pronouns, though I may occasionally just lapse into they, them, to make it easier to understand who I'm talking about sometimes. And they are also in one of Merkborg's new extended outside the original, classes. Are they classes? Is that what it's called?
Yes, they are classes.
Yeah. And so the class is the Pale One, and they're just kind of like a strange alien changeling. And that's Reposed Reflects the Truth.
Fantastic. D.
I'm playing Augustus. He's a wretched royalty. And he has a lot of crap. A lot of stuff. He has like four weapons and a jester.
Goodness.
I rolled really well.
Yeah, you did.
The jester is carrying a lot of my stuff. I have a battle axe. I have a staff. I have a grappling hook, which I'm pretty sure I could use. I have a large iron hook. I have a dagger that instantly kills on a one.
Oh, that's right. You have that poison dagger. I forgot about that.
I think you have the most hit points out of all of us.
Yeah. So Augustus is armed. Augustus is armed to the teeth, and their best friend is a skull that they carry everywhere.
All right, Viditya, please.
Yeah, I am playing Vatan, a cursed skinwalker, which is, again, another non-core class to Merkborg. and Vatan is like a were lizard, a lizard man, and I can shift into a horrific life and death lizard when I so choose. A painful transformation, but one I can do at will. Mm. Vatan carries a giant Zweihander and cannot die, has died once and refuses to die a second time.
Absolutely.
And also has a wonderful little horrific Komodo dragon looking dog who he has named Gurgle.
Perfect.
And Vatan uses like he, they pronouns.
Okay. So unlike our quest game, this is gonna be a little bit grimmer, so we had to prepare a little bit of a content warning.
They're gonna be blood, death, and bad things.
So I just wanted to give a content warning for fantasy violence, the swords and spells and stuff, mild to moderate gore, mention of livestock slaughter, and a whole lot of blood. Just literally lakes of it. The hovel of Shetstad is a blood-reeking village built in the strange masoned caverns excavated by the ancient undercult known as the Loam Folk. More than a century ago, the exiled rats of this wretched land discovered the blood mire by following their noses towards the sweet stink of rot. They founded this hovel and have lived here ever since. Scarcely a half mile of winding tunnel away from the large squared-off area in which lies Shetstad is the blood mire, both the source of the town's constant stench of blood and its greatest asset. This bog of blood, fat, and filth is located in a large hollow cavern underneath a series of ancient sluice gates, which connect to a massive abattoir far above the palace of the Shadow King. Here the people of Shetstad dredge for thick clots of blood and animal effluents to take home to process into candles, stews, sausages, and other essentials. Because of this natural resource, Shetstad is one of the most stable, well-fed hovels in all of the Under. But this fortune has not come without the envious eyes of others. Ghouls and fleshworms routinely attack the dredgers and seek to drain the mire dry, so guards from Shetstad must be posted up all four candles of the day. Shetstad has a relatively powerful volunteer militia called the Mire Guard, who perform this duty as well as help keep the dredger caravans orderly. Only a maximum of 100 dredgers may be in the mire at one time, and only two caravans may be sent out per day, for a single candle each, a duration of about 6 hours. This strict routine has kept the blood mire mostly well-stocked for all comers, even if it's caused some violence in the past, as dredgers jockey for spots in the caravans and argue over when is best to go. We begin at the beginning. Our four adventurous souls have found their way to Shetstad one way or another, and each now seeks to reach the blood mire for their own purposes. Something has impelled each of them towards it. At the Eastern God's Hole Gate, the dredger caravan is currently gathering. It usually takes about a candle sext for the thing to get going, but it's been at least that long already. Something's delaying their departure, and it's making the dredgers in the van antsy. Some have started shouting towards the front of the line. Candles burning, mates! Let's get a move on, eh?
And we're all in that caravan.
You guys are kind of milling around that caravan, trying to figure out how to get into the caravan. Because you notice that all of them have these little kind of like painted badges that look like they're basically just tin cups that have been hammered down flat and painted red. And they have... Each of the dredgers have these kind of like pinned to their cloaks. And you don't have one of those.
Uh-huh. Riposte is going to sort of jerkily shamble up to the nearest one that they see. Hello, I would like your pretty, pretty metal thing.
Well, you're going to have to wait like 3 weeks for that.
But I would like it now.
I
could give you something.
Are you...
can you give me about 120 shillings? Because that's what I'll make from a run out there.
Yes.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Do you provide the monies?
I reach into my robes and just sort of pat around because Repose does not understand what a shilling is either. And then... And whenever they feel something like hard in their pockets, that is just what they're going to like pull out. And what I pull out is a vial filled with slightly iridescent liquid, and it is the life elixir.
Oh my god.
Sorry, but that's not coin, he says. What? Look, if you want to get into the caravan, you can just join it with those guards. He just kind of gestures off towards the front of the caravan. They take most people.
Okay.
Could I have been part of the guards?
Sure. You can have been here for a little while and basically identified them as the only people with weapons in town. And so you're like, I should probably do what they do.
Hang around the people that will not get me killed.
Yeah. Well, have the most dangerous job, but...
No. The way it works is enough weaponry is enough to guard the heart.
I see. Uh-huh. Well, you're really excited about that idea, and they're a little bit scared of you because of it. But they'll take anyone who's got, you know, a work ethic and a lot of weapons.
I have a lot of weapons.
You're hired.
Okay. That's half of it. That's fine. That's more than some people show up with. So, yeah, the other group of people that's sort of milling around are all heavily armed, and they have kind of the same weird makeshift badge thing going on, except instead of painted red, their little, like, hammered flat cups are painted this sort of slightly glowing green. It looks like may have been made out of some kind of glowing algae. And ooh, out of character, or sort of for Vatan, since that's your crew. And also, I guess now, Augustus, the reason for that is that you'll be visible in the darkness. So, like, there's always a guard you can kind of see somewhere, even if it gets dark out. So you got one of these little badges that's, like, smeared in glowing goo.
Yeah. From where we're hanging out, can we see Riposte trying to, like, haggle away in?
Oh, yeah.
If you're okay with this, I think Vatan has at least introduced himself to Augustus.
Perfect.
And is like, I think, and so like, D, if you're cool, like, I think Vatan thinks that we're friends.
Perfectly fine.
So Vatan will like kind of smack you on the arm, but be like, hey, check that out. What do you think that's about?
Augustus looks over there and goes,
yeah, I think so, too. Gurgle over here is giving him a weird stink eye, though, so I don't know. I hope they don't come this way.
And at that point, Repose unfurls their spectral wings to fly over to you because they have been pointed out to you, and comes like a weird shadow goblin in the darkness.
Yeah, shit.
If you can fly... does that mean you can drop things?
Yes.
I turn to Vatan and I ask, how many daggers do you have on you?
Vatan like pats his pretty bare like armor. Like you don't really see a lot. None? I'm going to say none.
So if we can gather every dagger we have on the caravan and we have this person hold them and they just drop it on whoever is whatever enemy we might face.
Yeah, uh-huh. And presumably they die, right? That's the point here?
Yes, death. That's permanent, yes.
That's a lot of daggers. I told you we were going to make good friends.
Yes, friends. Most certainly, friends.
Oh, these guys over here? And, like, Vatan, like, points at the rest of the guards. Sticks in the mud. Don't get it. Don't understand it. You got a sense of humor.
Are you talking to me or Felix?
I'm talking to Augustus. And you come with this thing, and I like flick the skull.
Oh! I slap him.
Yeah,
Felix also kind of looks shocked and says, "Whoa, you don't want to do that, buddy."
Oh, whoops. Okay, all right.
I immediately slap him, and I almost hold out my hand, kind of in the same position I always hold it out when I'm like, "Give me my dagger." But I breathe and I say, "No, not today."
Okay.
Everyone gets one.
You guys who are up at the front, you are kind of aware that the thing that's been delaying the caravan is something to do with the number of guards that have shown up to duty today. And your shift sergeant is an individual named Lucas, and he's kind of over talking with one of the other guards who actually showed up. And he's just looking more and more frustrated.
And that we have too many or not enough?
Not enough. He'll walk over to you guys after a while. So here's the situation. We've got 8 people, and we need a minimum of 10 per law.
I count as 3.
Sorry, Augustus, but you don't.
You're right. I count as 4.
What about this one? And I like just point at Repose.
What is that?
I am reposed reflects the truth, and I am at least 5.
Mm.
Eh?
I think that when you turn to point at reposed and look back in that direction, you see there's another figure that wasn't there standing directly next to reposed.
What about this one? And it's just 2 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just turn and you see like a tall kind of like very, very skinny figure with just incredibly pale skin, like they have never seen the light of day. Little like wispy gray hairs on their head, maybe 6 of them in total, and just like really long kind of wiry fingers.
Augustus holds his hand to his chin and he goes, "This one counts as -1.
So does the one in the air watch the one on the ground, or like, are they siblings, or?
Oh, no, we're not related.
But I am capable of looking into the 23 dimensions and seeing all.
Okay.
I apologize. I maybe didn't vet them properly when I...
At this point, it's law's law. We just need 10. This will be fine. He just kind of roots around in a bag. He's got like a messenger bag on his side, and he roots around in it and digs out 2 more of those glowing badges and just hands one to both of you.
I love it.
My eyes just go wider than they already are.
You all right, buddy?
For me.
Yeah, that's the idea.
I just take it and like tuck it away in my tattered cloak.
No, the point is you got to have it displayed on you.
Oh.
It glows in the dark.
And I take it out and display it.
And don't lick it. You'll go to sleep, he says.
I think when he says that, we see that Kerm had it like inches away from their tongue.
Don't.
It's not a pleasant sleep either, let me tell you.
Yeah, our buddy Vatan here went down pretty rough his first week. He thought no one was looking, so he took a lick.
Yeah. Vatan just shrugs.
Yeah, we all do it. It's a rite of passage, basically.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're up to numbers, so we can get this show on the road. He just kind of turns and addresses all of the dredgers in the caravan and just shouts, "All right, everybody, we're ready." And they start unlocking the gate.
Oh, I have a donkey somewhere.
You remembered it. Good. This wretched thing just kind of shambles over. You see it's like got its face basically in this boiling vat of blood in the meatworks that someone was processing into something, and it's just kind of face into it.
Come along, Starlight. We must move forward.
It jerks its horrible necrotic face towards you, half just covered in gore now. It's got like one slightly phosphorus glowing eye and the other's just an empty socket, and it's kind of clip-clops over towards you.
Such beautiful sadness.
I like put my hands in front of my mouth excitedly, and I'm like, "Ooh, I'm going to love this one," and start petting your stitched together undead donkey.
You may call it anything, for it is all things and beats with the pulse of the universe.
It is very nice to meet you, anything.
This is going to be one of these trips, huh? I like say to Augustus, as if we've been on multiple trips together.
Yeah, it's Augustus has probably only been here for a little while, so maybe only a couple of times together. So yeah, you guys head out into the darkness of the cavern beyond. You have two people in your group head out in front. They're called the Torchwalkers, and they've got these great big sticks that have lanterns on the end. And they're like 8 foot tall poles. So you guys, they head out maybe 200 feet in front of the group so that you kind of have like anglerfish like lights to follow. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Is that like a coveted role or like a very dangerous role?
It's a very dangerous role. Yeah, right. And they try to make it like a macho thing so that people will want to do it. But anyone who's smart is like, nah, fuck that. I'm not doing that.
Vatan's like, one day.
Oh no.
It's gonna be me.
Augustus puts his hand on Vatan's shoulder and you know what, Vatan? One day. I wish you best.
I turn to Repose and I'm just like, their friendship, it's so beautiful.
It is pure.
Is anyone other than me not seeing this as friendship?
It is as pure as a newborn snake hatching from its shell.
Beautiful.
I'm going to live to regret this, I think, Lucas says. He's just kind of taking up the head of the caravan.
So as the Torchwalkers head out in front of you, and you guys are traveling along in the otherwise pretty dark, like the caravan has candles and stuff all over it, but, you know, the light pretty much only extends about 20, 30 feet in all directions tops. What do you all hear, see, smell, or think about while you're traveling? Let's borrow Dee's rule and go down the line. Let's start with Adam. What is Kerm thinking about or seeing? Or
well, Kerm is entirely fixated on Vatan. We didn't get to see this at the start, but the reason why Kerm kind of appeared next to Repose when they turned back around is because he has been following Vatan and wanted very like saw an opportunity to get closer and just kind of blindly took it. So I think that I'm mostly just following very closely behind Vatan. I don't know if you notice and if you think it's really weird or not, but it's happening.
I love that.
There's a guy on the caravan, which by the way, I should lay this out a little bit. There are no beasts of burden here other than Cindy's horrible thing, which is not drawing any of these. So these people are basically pushing buckboards or big ass wheelbarrows, and it's just whatever they can carry, which is why each dredger is like, you know, they operate in teams of like 3 to 5 so that they can potentially carry more stuff back. Because they don't really have like cows or anything down here that can pull their wagons for them. So they've got these huge wheelbarrows and stuff and just like swole boys pushing them.
Wow. One day.
Yeah, they make a lot more money than the guards do. So you're like, yeah, one day.
Yeah.
So the thing that I was going to say, though, is one of these guys kind of like cuts his hand on the like a splinter on the wheelbarrow he's pushing. He goes, oh, son of a. And it's just kind of like shaking out his hand, and the blood spatter that comes out of his hand, Adam, your character Kerm just like hears your god's voice in the blood and says, yes, you are going the right way. Continue into the dark.
Yes, my queen. And
the guy looks at you. You what?
I shuffle off.
Okay.
It's very good. So you're watching me. I kind of want to know, do you see me do something really weird?
Well, I think that one of Kerm's strange quirks is that while he's like very hunched over, but he thinks that he has perfect posture and he is obsessed with perfect posture. And he sees you walking straight and thinks that you are just an absolute fool.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right, that gives me an idea kind of what's going on in your head. I like that.
Okay, let's continue going down the line. Cindy, what are you seeing, smelling, hearing, or thinking about down here?
So what everyone else can hear is that Repose is doing a strange sort of hum in the back of their throat where it's like syncopated, but then it gets off beat and it sounds really strange and unsettling. But in Reposed Head, I'm actually just like singing to the mushrooms that are further down in the under because I can hear them and I want them to know that I'm still here. I'm listening to them and I haven't forgotten.
They appreciate it very much. Most of their children of the dark just eat them, which is unfortunate, but they understand.
It is part of the life cycle, yes, but sad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dee, what is Augustus thinking, seeing, hearing, smelling?
Augustus takes one of those mushrooms that are on the wall and just eats it. Secondly, is there like underground sources of water or such like that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's like whole rivers around certain places.
I'm thinking at this point of year, perhaps this place is a lot more humid, a lot warmer, as if we're passing nearby, like some like underground hot springs, to the point where it's making this entire place a lot more wet.
I love it. There's a slight steam in the air too. So when the torch walkers are out too far, they get a haze over their light, which is not normal.
Mm-hmm,
it's a particularly wet day.
Love that blood steam.
Really opens the pores.
Yeah.
Okay, Vatan, what are you seeing, smelling, thinking?
I think Vatan really shuts up, which is also why the Mire Guard, like, leave him alone. Go, like, you take the, you watch over there. So he's, like, kind of walking around, and I think what he is kind of just, like, pointing stuff at. It's all like, oh, that wasn't there before, and, like, that was a weird thing. Hey, you remember that? Like, or like he'll walk up to one of the guardsmen and will be like, "Ain't you new?"
No, I've.
What's your thing?
Worked here for 6 months.
Really? Have we?
Oh no,
I've seen you before.
I'm usually day shift. You're usually night.
Hmm.
I've heard about you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Heard you talk a lot.
I mean,
it's not a good thing.
It is one of my strengths. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go see if they need anything at the back, he says, and he just kind of wanders away.
I think Vatan does not let him. Oh, yeah, let's check out the back. That's a good strategy.
He just kind of puts his head in his hands for a second, and he's just like, yep, all right, we're doing this.
So this blood steam, right? Like, I don't have any pores anymore, but what about you? God. How does that feel?
It's real wet today.
Vatan feels something brushing through the back of his hair, and it is Repose long fingers.
No hair.
Through the back of his scales, his rills.
Yeah, he's got like scales.
Just Repose long fingers, and then Repose just like right there near where the ear hole is on a lizard, a tympanium, and is just whispering, "You're not making the friends you think you are."
Oh no.
Oh, that's so good. Vatan just kind of is like,
be careful.
Well,
lest your love turn to their hatred.
Oh.
The guard that you were talking to is just staring at Repose like he's seeing a ghost, just like empty, pale, shocked, horrified, stopped walking. The caravan keeps moving, and he's just staring as she like disappears, or they disappear around the corner.
Yeah. Vatan just kind of like, I think, like, briefly looks like he is scared or shocked or is, like, uncomfortable by that truth. Like, you know, what you normally should be reacting. But then just kind of, like, looks down at Gurgle and goes, oh, that's weird. Let me tell you. And then, like, points to the guard and is like, you don't want that to happen. And it feels like crickets in my ear hole. You know, I got an ear hole now. I don't got a normal ear. I got one of these weird lizard ears, and like just continues to keep moving.
I should talk to the blood priests when we get back, he says, and he just kind of shuffles to the back of the line.
You have to go past Repose, who is just staying in the middle, and slowly turns their head to watch the guard.
He's just kind of looking at you while he walks past.
He bumps into Repose's strange undead donkey for a second. It brays and sounds like something is breaking.
Oh, no.
I also think, like, when, like, Vatan looks down to Gurgle, Gurgle's got, like, just something nasty in its mouth.
It's got this okay, so one of the pests around here is called a bloodworm, which are just these ugly, they're just like maggots the size of footlong subs. Mm. Like and they've got like lamprey mouths.
Love
too.
It.
And they just squiggly gross critters. And so he's just got one of those kind of like half mangled in its mouth, and he's managing to kind of like look up at you with a like doggy panting smile, like while this awful thing is wriggling in his mouth.
Oh yeah, Vatan definitely goes like, no, Gurgle, drop it, no. Oh, you'll get a stomach ache.
So as you reprimand Gurgle for having this giant maggot thing in its mouth, you hear Kern was just like, but they're so cute. And you look over and he's like holding one with both hands, like looking into its face.
Oh my God.
Its face is definitely gnashing out, kind of like alien jaw style, shooting out, trying to grab at your face. Yeah.
Just like, aren't you just the cutest little fellow?
You'll learn to not like them as much once one of them sucks out half your blood, Lucas says as he walks past.
You see Kerm's face kind of go serious, like as if he has an idea, and he's like, they're full of blood?
Oh, no.
Lucas's eyebrow cocks.
And he just starts like squeezing it out.
Oh, okay.
Just squeezing it as hard as he can, and there's just blood and gore kind of foaming out of its mouth.
It stops wrestling pretty quickly.
She will be so proud. And I turn to you, Vatan, and I'm just, she's going to be so pleased with me. And I just keep mashing this thing between my fingers.
God. Whatever gets you off, buddy.
Anyone who is sort of paying attention amongst this group?
Augustus is. He's always ready. Do you see how many weapons I have? I'm super ready for this
job. More weapons is more guard. That's true.
It is. That's mm-hmm. true.
Reposed only blinks once a minute.
Mmm, good point. So let's go ahead and have Reposed and Augustus roll a presence check, please.
Ooh, 2. 11.
11. Nice. Oh. Okay.
Augustus is getting distracted, wondering if he could attach his battle axe to his staff.
Ooh, that's a good thing to get distracted by. So, Reposed, you notice that maybe 20 minutes into your walk.
I'm floating.
Oh, sorry. Your Always float. Always float. 20 minutes into your float. You see the torch walkers out in front of you. One of them just jostles violently, and the other one jostles violently and then falls and almost hits the floor, but is caught and then quickly propped back up. And then they kind of cut right, both of them, really hard.
We have lost the light bearers. They are going into the dark.
They're still, you know, there. They're just going a very different way than they were a second ago.
They're going into the dark. Just Reposed is going to just keep repeating, they're going into the dark. Just over and over and over again in a monotonous tone.
Oh.
They're going into the dark.
You good? What's up? Who's going into the dark? Who's going where?
They're going into the dark.
Where's the dark? Can you point it out to me?
They're going into the dark.
Okay, all right. And then I'm going to like pull Augustus over. I think this one's broken.
They're going into the dark.
I shake Reposed.
So question, who is going into the dark?
They're going into the dark.
Are you looking in the direction of
I am looking directly at them.
Okay, yeah. If Vatan looks off in that direction, would they be able to...
Go ahead and roll. I guess it is presence or bust. So go ahead and roll me a presence.
Ooh, that is a 6.
Okay. You do this pretty often though. So I'm going to go ahead and say that you are well aware that they are not going the right way. There's a fork kind of in the distance and they've started hanging right when they should be hanging left. Because you made the absolute bare minimum result roll. And I'm like, you do this literally as a job, so you know the right way. And it's definitely hug the left wall. And they're just cutting right. Hmm. And you're thinking that's weird.
Yeah. Vatan's definitely got enough job sense to go to Lucas and ask about that.
you walk up to Lucas. He's kind of in the back at this point because he's been working his way down the caravan, talking mm-hmm. to people and making plans with some of them and stuff. And so he's kind of near the back when you get to him. So what's going on?
The torchbearers, they're veering off in a weird direction. I don't think that's on the agenda. I don't think that's on the plan.
He raises an eyebrow. They're going south instead of straight.
Yeah.
Straight east.
Yeah.
We lost two more, he says. He just pulls out his sword. Or sorry, battle axe. He's got a battle axe on his hip. And he just pulls it out.
Come with me. There's probably scum or goblins or something.
Cool.
I also draw my battle axe.
He just very matter-of-factly yeah. starts heading towards the front. It's just like, we lost two more guards. Oh, well.
Okay.
What you gonna do?
Draws his Zweihänder and is just kind of like excitedly walking behind.
Once Lucas reaches the front, he just kind of holds up a pair of hands to the caravan and says, "Everybody stop, everybody stop. We got a problem with the torchbearers. It looks like they've been killed," he says. And everyone in front is like, you just wait here and we'll go sort it out.
What do you mean? They're still moving.
Yeah, someone's probably killed him. They're trying to lead us down into the stomach, he says.
Oh, what is in the stomach?
A bunch of bastards, he says.
Oh.
Goblins and folk who aren't yet goblins. Oh. You got a weapon or?
I don't remember.
Well, at this point, after the caravan has kind of stopped moving now for like a solid 30 seconds to a minute, you see both of the torches in the distance just kind of stop and then kind of fall and hit the ground, and you hear footsteps running towards you guys.
Thank you so much for tuning into the first episode of Forever GM Presents Merkborg. There is going to be so much more hilarious and gruesome action, so make sure you tune in every Monday for brand new episodes. Of course, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms, including Spotify, Google Play, Apple, Amazon, and all that. And as always, if you are enjoying the show, feel free to leave us a positive review on whatever service you're using to listen, or just tell some of your friends about the podcast. It goes an incredibly long way in helping us find new listeners. If you want to keep up with us, you can find us on Twitter at ForeverGMPod, that's with the number 4, or on our website, www.forevergm.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week with some more Merkborg.